But it's good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. How many were blessed by Dan Muller last week? Amen. Praise God. Praise God. We're a blessed church because God allows certain people that we connect with to be able to come to speak and to minister into our lives. And, you know, even me as a pastor, you always see me taking notes and everything because you can never stop learning more about the Lord. Amen. It's going to take all eternity for us to really learn about Jesus and about God. We are just scratching the surface of what this thing. We are all eternity that God is going to continue to reveal himself, who he truly is to us. Amen. But we need to walk in the revelation that we have right now. All right. In order to help change other people's lives. Because that's what this is all about. Amen. I want to speak today about following Jesus. All right, and it's going to come out of Matthew 4. We're going to go into that. All right, so you go. I'll give you all a chance to change to Matthew 4 with your phone Bibles or whatever else you got. Amen. Let me just say a quick prayer. Father, we just thank you this day, oh God. God, I just thank you for this opportunity to speak into your people's lives, dear God. I pray that the power and the presence of your Holy Spirit, dear God, would just speak through me. God, that they may see all of you and none of me, Father, that they may hear all of you and none of me. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right? So I want to talk about following Jesus. It's something that God just put into our heart that, you know, as believers, that we have to understand that each and every day that we have to follow Jesus. And as I said earlier, that God sent Jesus, all right, in the fullness of time. All right, God knew exactly when to release the salvation package into this earth to bring the world back into the place that God originated it to be. Amen? And Jesus is the answer. You have to understand that in between the Old Testament and the New Testament, there was 400 years of silence that God did not speak. 400 years. Could you imagine that? All right. So there was all this other stuff going on. You know, the Pharisees and all them making up all these laws, 600 and some laws that had nothing to do with the Bible. And you ever notice when Jesus, his biggest fights was with who? The Pharisees. It was never with the people, right? It was always with them guys. All right, so the first person to speak out of that 400 years was John the Baptist. He was the one. He says, here I am, a voice crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. And then here comes Jesus, his son, the fulfillment of the promise. That if you go way back in Genesis 12, when God told Abraham, I'm going to make your name great, all right, and all that. And he said, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. And what was he talking about? He was talking about Jesus. And because of Jesus Christ coming into the world, all the nations of this earth can be blessed if they receive the blessing that God has made forth in his son Jesus. Amen? And just like us, if in order for us to receive the blessing, we have to receive what God has given us. All right? And so it came with Jesus. And it's very interesting. All right? So I'm going to be reading from the Amplified Bible. I know you all got different versions, but I'm going to start in verse 15, okay? Matthew 4. I did say Matthew, right? Because I was at home group the other night and saying something, Philippians, or something, and I was in a different book. I have a habit of doing that, all right? I'm not crazy, okay? So he starts out here in verse 15. He says, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali in the way of the sea beyond the Jordan of Galilee of the Gentiles, of the people who were not of Israel. Okay, he's talking about the world, all right? Back in the day, you was either Israelite or you were a Gentile, all right? You didn't know God. All right, so he's talking about, in our day, all the non-believers. The people who dwelt enveloped in darkness have seen a great light. For those who sat in the land of the shadow of death, the light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to preach, crying out, repent, which means to change your mind for the better, to heartily amend your ways with abhorrence of your past sins, for the kingdom of God is at hand. What was Jesus talking about? The kingdom of God. He's saying the kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom is God's reign and God's rule in your life. When Jesus came, that's what he brought into a world that was full of confusion, a world that was full of hurt, a world that was full of pain, a world that is full of misery, just like our world is right now. It wasn't that Jesus came into a world that was different from ours. We just got more people. That's why it's more crazier. All right? Same thing that was going on back then is the same things that are going on now. But Jesus, he was telling the people to repent, that you have to change your mind. Change your mind about God. Change your mind about sin. What is sin? Missing the mark of what God created you to be. And Dan kept saying last week that we operated out of Adam. Amen? We operated out of that fallen nature. But now Christ has come. All right? And now we operate out of that new nature. And that's our message to the world, all right, about sin. Hey, brother, hey, sister, you're just missing the mark of what God created you to be. Because all of us went through that, right? Before we understood who Christ was, before we, you know, gave our lives to the Lord. Because you have to understand one thing about Jesus. Everything about Jesus' ministry points to sin. All right? Everything. About Jesus. As you read this book, you read the gospel. The gospel is the good news, all right? And the good news is not that I'm not just going to hell and I'm going to go to heaven one day. The good news, I don't have to live the life that I was living before in failure, defeat, living an undefeated life. The gospel is about victory. Amen? That's what the cross is about. The cross is about victory. So, because you have to understand, Jesus lived in this earth. He went from that baby in Bethlehem, right, to a young boy, to a teenager, to a young adult, all right, until this time in his life. He was 30 years old before his ministry took off. So he's seen a lot of stuff. And it says in the Bible that it was his custom to go to church, to go to the synagogue. Jesus went to church. That's why he was able to teach his disciples all the different things that he's seen as he went to church. He said, when you give, don't do like them guys. When you pray, don't be like them guys. When you fast, don't be like them guys. Why? Because they're doing it all for the wrong reasons. Amen? Now, you could be a Christian. You could be in church and still do things for all the wrong reasons if you don't understand who Christ is. Because everything about Jesus points in his ministry, point to sin. Matthew 1:21 says, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, and he will save his people from their sins. All right, just the simple name of Jesus, the understanding of that Jesus came to save me from my sin. All right, amen, everybody understand that. All right, in John, the book of John 1:9, it says, the next day, John saw Jesus coming towards him and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. All right, even John recognized who Jesus was and what he came for. Jesus knew exactly what he came to do. 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God. We are now the righteousness of God. We are now in a right standing with God because of what Jesus Christ did on that cross. Okay? Not because your eyes are blue. You got straight teeth. All right? Or any other thing that we look at ourselves. Or how much I pray. How much I read my word. How much I don't read my word. Okay? Because sometimes you get in guilt and condemnation about that. No. It's about what Christ did on that cross. He made him who knew no sin. Okay, Jesus lived in a polluted world just like we do. He always talked about you evil and perverse generation. Okay, he lived in the same world that we lived in, except for he did not participate. He did not participate in anything. Why? Because he had too much God inside of him to participate. Amen? But he said he made him who knew no sin to become sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God. 1 John 1:7, it says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all our sins. Amen? So now you get an understanding about the cross. Now you get an understanding about Jesus. Now you get an understanding about what he really came to do. He came to save our souls. Amen? And it's through his sacrifice, and it's through his blood that we can live the same exact life that Jesus lived. Right? I know sometimes it's hard for us to wrap our head around that because, you know, people get into a place, and we've all seen demonstrations of people who thought they were Holy Ghost Junior, right? No, we are not. But because of the Spirit of God living inside of us, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is the same Spirit that dwells in our mortal bodies. Right? Now, if God's Spirit is so strong that he can raise a dead man with no heartbeat and no pulse, think what he could do in your life. Amen? With the understanding of who he is and what he is in your life. So, Jesus comes on the scene, as I said, and that was his first message. To tell people you need to repent. You need to turn from what you're doing. All right? Because if you're supposed to be going into New York, and you're headed up the thruway going north, you're going in the wrong direction. You might be making good time, but you're going the wrong way. Okay? And that's what Jesus was telling. That's what repentance means. Yeah, you're doing a lot of things, but you're going in the wrong way, buddy. You're going in the wrong way. So now, he talks about that, and then it says in verse 18, as he was walking by the sea of Galilee, he noticed two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, throwing a dragnet into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, come after me as disciples, letting me be your guide, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. God does not call us for us to just sit. Amen? God had a purpose for calling these guys out of their business. These were businessmen. All right? God has a purpose from calling us out of our business. God has a purpose of calling us out of all them things that make us think who we are, so then we can really become who he really wants us to be. Amen? So he calls these guys and he says to them, come after me as my disciples. The call is to discipleship, not to be a Christian with fish and a cross in your car. Bumper stickers, hats, Jesus jeans. Okay? The call is not for us to look like billboards for Christ. The call is to be disciples of Christ. What is a disciple? A disciple is a disciplined learner, learning the ways of God, learning the will of God each and every day of your life. And that's what Jesus was telling them. You all come and follow me. And I'm going to teach you to fish for men. I'm going to teach you how to do this ministry thing opposed to what you see in those synagogues. Amen? And that's for each and every one, because the truth be told is the disciples was first called Christians in Antioch, Acts 11:26. All right, now this is after they went through their apprentice training. This was after they botched a lot of stuff. This was after Jesus went to the cross. This was after Jesus was resurrected. This was after Jesus ascended into heaven. This was after they were in the upper room and the Holy Ghost came and fell upon them. This was after all of that, that the church was established already and moving forward, when the disciples was first called Christians at Antioch. Why? Because they reminded the world. Their actions, their behavior, and their speech reminded the world of Jesus Christ. When's the last time your actions, your behavior, and your speech reminded somebody of Jesus? Think about that. All right? Because it doesn't make you a Christian if you hear the gospel message that I've been living the sinful life and the Holy Spirit touches your heart and you come down the aisle and you pray the prayer of salvation, because man's greatest desire is what? Salvation. Not a new car. Not a 401k. Pension and all that. It's great that you have it. I'm getting ready to retire. So I understand. But man's greatest desire is salvation. And that's what we have to understand. And that's what we need to teach people, that your greatest desire is to be saved. Yes, get an education. Yes, be the best that you could be at what you do. But you better make sure that you're saved first before anything else. Why? Because that money one day will fail you. Your education one day will fail you. All this other stuff that you prop up other than that cross is bound to fail you. Yeah. All right? So he calls them to be disciples. And it says that once they left their nets and became disciples, and they sided with his party, followed him. This is all about following Jesus. Amen? Following him. Jeremiah 29:11 says, I know the plans that I have for you. Plans of good and not of evil. Plans to give you a hope. Plans to give you a future. Plans to give you an expected end. So if I'm going to follow him, and I already have, he already has the plan, I need to follow the plan. All right? I'm a builder. All right? No matter what I do, whether I do it for myself or whether I do it in the carpenters union. Okay? I have to go to the foreman. Why? Because they have an architect that has already drawn out the blueprint. He already drawn out where the rooms go, the size of the rooms, how big they are, if there has to be any blocking in the walls, if there's a bathroom, is there this, is there that. Even as good as I am as a carpenter, I just can't go in there and do what I want. Okay? You being a believer following Jesus, you just can't do what you want. Because he called them to follow him. David said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Right? He leads me beside still waters. Why? Because sheep, if they take them by rapids, their wool absorbs water and they will drown. They can't drink from that water. All right? They have to drink from them still waters. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his namesake. Right? All of that stuff. All about the Psalms is about God being the shepherd. Right? Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. So if we're going to be following Jesus, we're going to have to know what the voice of Jesus sounds like. You don't have to know the voice of Jesus when it says go, when it says stop. He's not just the God of your starts. He's also the God of your stops. Because Psalms 1 says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. It's not always what we know to do. We also have to know what not to do as we follow Jesus. Amen? Because there's a certain time you might say the right thing at the wrong time. You know, we're not everybody's answer man. I'm a pastor. I'm not everybody's answer man. Okay? And there's certain times I know as a pastor, when stuff jumps off, I got to deal with it immediately. Bang, I need to talk to you. But then there's other times, I just had to let God work it out. I had to pray about situations, circumstances, and allow God to do it. As believers, you got to do the same thing. You ever get ready in a situation, circumstance, you're heated, you get ready to say something, you hear the Holy Spirit, shut your mouth, don't say nothing. Because once you learn the voice of God and understand what this is all about, Jesus was calling them into a worldwide program of ministry. And if they're going to do it, they're going to have to do it God's way. Amen? Because discipline, okay? They were disciplined learners in the will and the ways of God. The disciples, one thing, as I was studying, that the disciples were unlearned men. They didn't have education like all the Pharisees and everything, all right? But they were businessmen. They were accustomed to hardships and hazards. The fisherman's trade, more than any others, is very laborious. It's perilous. Fishermen were often wet and cold. They had to wait to watch the toil. And they learned to bear hardship and to run hazards and were best prepared for the fellowship and the discipleship of Jesus. Jesus knew exactly who he was calling that day because he knew that ministry gets rough, right? If you're going to be in ministry as a servant of God, you might not be at the level of pastor, okay? That's fine. But you are called to serve God. Each and every one of us are called to serve God. Why? Because the Bible says, to whom much is given, much more shall be required. The more knowledge you have of God, the more requirement comes for you to speak for God. And that's everybody, all right? Mark 16 said, to those who believe, these signs shall follow them, that you will lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Do you believe that? See, it all comes down to what you believe. Do I believe what this word says, all right? Or do I still got to call up the doctor, all right? But it takes time. It takes time. It took 3.5 years for the disciples to get where they got, amen? Because a good soldier of Christ endures hardship and hardness. All right? You're going to have to endure hardship and hardness. It says anybody that desires to live godly will do so with persecution. That'll help you out, right? Yeah, I'm ready, Jesus. Let them persecute me. But you have to understand that. Listen to what Paul says to Timothy in 2 Timothy, all right, chapter 2. He says, therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these things to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. All right? That's the gospel. That's discipleship. All right? You, therefore, must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Does everybody understand that? As a believer of Jesus, you have to endure hardship. There's going to be hard things coming in your life that you can't run from, that you're going to have to endure as a good soldier. You got to remember. Because then he goes on to say, no one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. The day when Jesus said, come follow me, you guys, come on, come follow me. They were enlisted into the army of the Lord. Amen? They were enlisted into the army of the Lord. So he goes on. Okay, and he says, and going on further, there he noticed two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets and putting them, and he called them. And at once they left the boat and their father and joined Jesus as disciples, sided with his party and followed him. And he went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the gospel and of the kingdom, and healing every disease and every sickness and infirmity among the people. See, when God shows up, there can't be no sickness in the building. When God shows up, there is no disease that's going to stand. That's why at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue shall confess. I don't care if it's cancer. I don't care if it's a headache. I don't care what it is. When the kingdom shows up, and the kingdom should be is, Jesus said, stop looking over there, stop looking over there. The kingdom is within. The reign and rule of God is in your life, or should be in your life, if we're following him. Amen? So we're going to have to follow him and to continue to follow him. All right? Because you have to realize what you were born in before the new birth makes any sense. All right? You have to understand that I was born in sin. David said that. If you read Psalm 51, all right, after his fall with Bathsheba, all right, when David said, I was born in iniquity. So you have to, he said that my mother conceived me in iniquity. All right? So we all have to understand because of the fall of Adam, all right, that's what we were born in. But when we died to Christ, all right? And we go down in baptismal waters and everything else. We rise in the newness of life. We have a brand new life each and every day of our life. We have a new way of thinking. We have a new way of talking. We have a new way of acting. We have a new way of dealing with situations and circumstances that I thought I could never deal with before. And I'm sure a lot of you who have given your life to Christ and been coming to this church have understand that now you are able to deal with situations that you would never be able to deal with before, correct? You are able to tolerate a lot more than what you tolerated before you came here. Because you have to understand, Jesus is all you need. That's all. That's it. Jesus is all you need. He is the full embodiment of the Father. God poured everything inside of him. The Father poured everything, his heart, everything inside of Jesus and said, now go, son, show them how to do it. Show them how to live the life that I created them to live. Show them how to love the unlovable. Show them how to forgive people that they would never forgive. Show them how to do it. That's what Jesus did. He took these guys on a 3.5-year apprenticeship program of dealing with sin, dealing with the Pharisees, dealing with people that wanted to throw them off a cliff. Dealing with people. See, if you're going to follow Jesus, you're going to have to follow him all the way into Gethsemane. Yeah. Until one day you say, Father, not my will, but your will be done. Because after Gethsemane comes the cross. And it's from that cross. All right? After he was beat, maligned, and everything else, that Jesus still was ministering. Remember the thief next to him? Right? He said, Lord, let the, you know, take me into paradise. Jesus said, today, buddy, today. You recognize me as Lord? Today. That's what the world needs to hear. The world needs to hear the message of love. But they need to see it in you each and every day of your life. How many of your coworkers know that you're saved? There's a lot of people I know that claim to be Christians and nobody ever know that they're saved because their actions, their mouth, and everything. But see, then Pastor Don shows up on the job. And then things change. And I always say that because just the other day, Tuesday, this guy that knows me, they were putting sheetrock on the car. And he says, hey, Rev, what's the word for today? And I said, trust in the Lord thy God with all your heart, lead not to your own understanding, that whole thing, right? So the kid that was with him says, hey, listen. He says, aren't you supposed to tell us something every day? Aren't you supposed to, in other words, he's telling me because of who I am, I'm supposed to speak it to you. I said, you're right. I said, hold on. After lunch, I got just the thing for you. Went out my car, got them daily breads that are back there. I said, here you go. I said, because you work on one end of the building, I work on the other. Okay? Friday, before I was leaving, the same guy who said to me, hey, Rev, okay, what's the word? Said, listen, he said, I'm going back to church. I got to come back. He said, you gave that guy that book? That guy's been reading that book, and he's been texting his girl every day, taking the picture and texting his girl the message. He said that if he had gave her the book, she would never read it. He said, but if he click a picture and send it to her, she'd read it. Just simple stuff. Why? Because this gospel we just sang, I'm going back to the simple gospel. This gospel's not complicated. You follow Jesus, he's going to give you what to say. You follow Jesus, he's going to give you a way to act. You follow Jesus, people are going to understand. Even the boss. Even the boss. Knows. He said, yeah, my son called me and said the pastor needed a job soon. They called him. He said, you tell the pastor to come. All right? And I'm no different than anybody, no different than you. It's just you got to live your life. You got to follow Jesus each and every day of your life because that's what it's all about. Because listen, even with, like I said, these fishermen were uneducated, all right? And if you go to Acts 4, the time when, you know, Peter and them were thrown in jail, you know, Peter and them were told not to speak about Christ, all right? So it says here in Acts 4:13, it says, now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated, untrained men, they marveled and they realized that they have been with Jesus. They realized the Sanhedrin, the educated ones, the one that had all the rules, the one that had all the regulations, understood one thing about these two guys. They might be uneducated. They might be untrained like we are. But guess what? I know that they're hanging out with Jesus. People are going to know that you have been hanging out with Jesus and that you've been following Jesus by your words, by your actions, by what you do each and every day of your life. And you have to understand, as a believer, you call yourself a blood-bought, born-again believer of the Lord Jesus Christ. You have to understand that the Great Commission should be a part of your life. That was a command from God, to go ye therefore into all these nations. First of all, he said, listen, he was resurrected. He ran into the disciples. Jesus, first thing he said to him, he said, listen, all power has been given to me in heaven and now on earth. Now, you guys, go. Go. All that stuff I trained you all back as you read this, you know, the Gospels. You know, what I want you to do, I'm going to give you a little bit of homework. Go read the Sermon on the Mount. All right? Because this was after Jesus came out of the Jordan, after he was tempted by the devil. All right? Because you're going to be tried. You're going to be tempted. But you can win. You can win every trial and you can win every temptation. And then he taught them, In the Sermon on the Mount, kingdom principles, God's way of God's rule and God's reign in your life, right? So because they had to take commandments, correct? Jesus up the ante. And if you read that, you'll understand. Pray for those who despitefully use you and say all type of manner of evil against you. Right. Yeah, right. Okay. I know that you despitefully use me and say all type of manner of evil against you, and I'm supposed to pray for you. See, in your natural makeup, that's not going to be. But if you're following Jesus, you're going to be able to do it. You might not be able to do it right now, today, okay? But you're going to do it, all right? You're going to be able, all them things of bless this one, bless that one, bless the Sermon on the Mount, okay? Forgive, right? That's a big thing. All of us have a problem with forgiving. Because like you said, it's all about me. What he did to me, what she did to me. You don't know how they hurt me. But Jesus from the cross said, Father, forgive them. For they know not what they do. So if I'm following him, that sooner or later, there has to be a position in my life where I learn to forgive people and forget about it. You know what I mean? I just let it go. I leave the consequences up to God. Turn it loose. Leave the consequences up to him. Because he says, I am the Lord, I shall repay. If he's the Lord, he shall repay. All right? And that doesn't mean that, oh God, let a crane fall on her. Okay? He's going to do it his way. Why? Because it's God's desire that no man perish, that all repent and come into the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? It might have took you getting roughed up. It might have took you getting your feelings hurt in order for you to release that person so God can operate in their life. Because, see, when you don't retaliate like the rest of the world retaliates, because the Bible says that when your ways please the Lord, even your enemies will be at peace with you. You understand? It's all about pleasing God. It's all about pleasing Jesus. It's all about following him, following his mannerisms, following his obedience to Christ, his absolute surrender to the Father in all things. All right? Jesus never worried about nothing. Remember his disciples in Mark 4? All right, when he told them, let's cross to the other side, let's go across. He was testing them. That's what that was all about. He's asleep on the boat. He's a fisherman. All right? He knows, like I said before, he knew what he was picking. God knows what he picked the day he grabbed you. There is nothing that you do in your life that's going to surprise God like, oh, man, they did that? We didn't take that into account. Oh, man. Please. He understands the sin nature that we're capable of doing anything. All right? That's you with all your tongue talking, praying, and everything else. But Jesus was asleep on the boat. And they woke him up. All right, don't you care that we're perishing now? It had to be a storm if the fishermen were scared. Right? Because these guys, anybody ever watched The Deadliest Catch? You know, when them guys go out there and get the crabs and all that other stuff? And then waves got the boat like there. And they're not afraid. So you know that this must have been a storm if the fishermen were afraid. We're going to die. Yo, wake up. Don't you care? All right? But Jesus had complete confidence in the Father. That's why he wasn't worried. We ain't going to die. That's why he said, O ye of little faith. You know, how many situations, circumstances come in our lives, all right, that we act like them? O ye of little faith. Oh, ye, because it's all about faith. Either I believe God is who he says he is, or I don't believe. And God's going to say, okay, I'm going to test and see. Okay, all them songs we sing. You know all them songs we sing about God? You split the, what's the one we spin? You split the sea so I can walk right through it. And we go in on that one, right? Here we go. As soon as something happens in your life, you be, God, where are you? But see, if we follow Jesus and understand, okay? Jesus went through stuff too. As you read the Gospels, just don't fly through it. Because you understand the Gospel is the training manual for the disciples. If you're going to be a disciple of Christ, the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, is going to be a training manual for your Christian life. Because the same things that happened to them, it going to happen to you. Jesus said that a disciple is not above his teacher, but disciplined enough, you could be just like the teacher. He didn't say you're going to be God. All right, let's get rid of that one. All right, but he said disciplined enough, you're going to be just like me. When them situations occur in your life, you're going to be just like me. They're like the woman caught in adultery, all right? The woman caught in adultery, how do you catch somebody? I've always, how did that happen? Well, Jesus, we caught her in the very act. Either it's a setup or you're a peeping Tom, all right? One or the other. But when they brought the woman to Jesus to see what he was going to do, because they were really trying to set him up, okay? And they quoted the scripture. They misquoted the scripture anyway, because it says not just the woman, but the man also. But they didn't bring that little part up. All right, so that's when Jesus went to writing on the ground. He probably was writing the scripture, yeah, you left yourself out. Okay? And he showed his disciples that day, because when Jesus spoke to him and said, woman, where are your accusers? Where are the ones that accuse you? He said, neither do I accuse you, sin no more. Do you realize that that day Jesus is the only one without sin? He could have picked up a stone and put judgment on that woman, but his mercy tried up over judgment. We just sang that, right? Correct? So that day, the disciples seen a lesson about mercy. You understand? See, when you follow Jesus, you understand about mercy. Because Jesus, the Pharisee had a problem with Jesus is because he forgives sins before he even went to the cross. Right? And that's what the Bible's all about. And that's what we have to understand. As we follow Jesus, we have to understand. I have a training manual as I read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John on how I'm supposed to deal with every situation that is ever going to occur in life as far as ministry. All right? Because when you say yes to Jesus, you also all automatically become a minister of the gospel. Okay? Automatically. And I'm not the type of guy that says something to you and I'm not going to show you, all right? Because all of us at times like to quote 2 Corinthians 5:17, right? We all know that one, right? What is that one? That's right. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation, that the old things have passed away and all things have become new, all right? So if you're in Christ, you're a new creation, right? How many of you are in Christ? We'll be scarce. Put your hand up. All right, we'll pray for you. No, I'm only kidding. Okay? If anybody's in Christ, you're a new creation. Old things have passed away. Listen, and behold, all things have become new. Everything should be new in your life. Nobody should see the same exact person they seen before you came to Jesus. All right? Now, let's go on a little bit. And he says here in verse 18, now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us. Who's he talking to? The church. He has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses on them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors of Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf to be reconciled to God. That's our message. We are ambassadors. The same way we have ambassadors that we send into the world. All right? We send ambassadors from the United States into the world. Why? Because of the interests of the United States. They're there for that. They're not there for the interests of India, Egypt, any other country, okay? They're there to represent the U.S. Does everybody get that? We are ambassadors for Christ. We don't do nothing but represent him. We don't represent our own interests. We don't represent the way I think about it or the way I feel about it, all right? We don't represent that. We represent the kingdom. And how do we represent the kingdom? By testifying about the goodness of God, what he has done in your life. We are there to tell him that the power of God one day came over my life. And to this day, I live a life of purity, of wholeness, and righteousness before God. That's what we are here to do. But the only way that happens is if you follow Jesus. And the only way you're going to follow him, disciples, they were with him bodily. But the only way you're going to do it is if you get in this book. The only way you're going to follow Jesus is get in this book. And let this become a part of your life. So that way, when situations and circumstances come in your life, you're going to know how to deal with it, and God's going to get the glory. Because everybody don't know this. And a lot of people don't care about it. All right? But you can't worry about what the other people think about. You got to think about What God? Because sis, the reality of it is, guess what? Jesus died. He was buried, right? Rose again. That's the gospel, right? He ascended into heaven. But guess what? He's coming back. All right? And he's going to take us with it. He's going to create a new heaven, new earth. Why? It says that I'm going to make all things new. Revelation 21, I'm going to make all things new. Guess what? We're going to be in charge. You understand that? We are going to be in charge. We don't even think about that, right? We are going to be running stuff. All right? Let the world get as crazy as it wants, right? Because there's going to be a new heaven. There's going to be a new earth. There's going to be a new kingdom. All right? Jesus is going to be in charge when nothing but righteousness is going to rule. And guess what? To him who overcomes. To him who overcomes. Read Revelations 2. To him who overcomes, which means the things that are going on in your life, I put enough of myself in you for you to overcome. Greater is he that is in you than he that is coming against you. You win this thing. We're not people that walk around with their heads down. I don't like it no more than you. You think the devil, I got a pastor card, I go, nothing's going to happen to me today. I'll pray for you, brothers and sisters. No, I go through the same stuff that you go through. I go through the same up and downs that you go through. You know, maybe a little bit more. But you know what? I've learned to trust him. I learned to trust him in every situation and circumstance. I learned to trust him when I couldn't see my way. I learned to trust him even when I could not hear his voice. When you can't see where you're headed, always trust the one that got the plan. Always trust the one that has the plan. And that's it, the message for today for the church. Follow Jesus. In everything that you do, follow Jesus. And if somehow you got off the path, get back on the path. God has enough grace. All right? The cross is enough grace. God has enough grace to get you. You know, because that shepherd, you see that shepherd's staff that Jesus had? That hook was when the sheep got off the path to bring them right back on there, hook them around the neck. Come on, get back over there with the rest of them. And then at times he had to spin it and whack. All right? No, it was for the wolves in the back. It was for the wolves and the bears. That's what he was going to do. But that's all God has. Follow me. I'm going to bring you out of that darkness. All right? Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Your word is a lamp to my feet, a light unto my path. The entrance of your word brings light and understanding. Do you realize that? The more you allow the word of God to enter into you, okay? Because that's all Jesus did. He came and invited people into the kingdom of God. That was his message. And it was up to them to open their heart to let God reign and rule in their life. Amen? Amen. And the same way it's up to you, that you have to open up your heart. God loves you. He so loved the world that he sent his only son, right? He sent his only son. This thing is about love. Doesn't matter how bad you are. That's the enemy who keeps bringing up how bad you are. Because if anybody be in Christ, there is no condemnation. Don't let the enemy condemn you. All right? Let's rise. Let's get back on the path. Let's do it. Because there's a great work. There's a whole bunch of people that live around us that are sitting in darkness, just waiting for somebody to come alongside them and let them know it's going to be okay. Amen? Let us rise to our feet.